I wonder if we, the power of the resurrection in our lives, how much do we want that power? You know, St. Paul was a great disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you really listen to that reading, there was a point at which, even in his own spiritual journey, with all he had done, there was an if there concerning whether he would attain the resurrection. Not that he was owed it. Not that that comes with the territory. Well, of course I'll have that in eternal life. Which I think as Christians we take rather naively. Paul wondered if he was worthy to experience the power of the resurrection. But oh, how he wanted it. He wanted it. You know, the prophet Isaiah talked about God was going to be doing a new thing. Behold, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something spectacular. I'm going to do something amazing in all of the history of the world. I am going to come down and live among you. And not only that, I'm going to give my life to show you how much I love you. And as an added gift, I am going to give you the power of the resurrection. I'm going to prove it to you several times. And I, as Jesus, am going to be raised from the dead and show you without a doubt, I love you and want you to live differently. That is what Isaiah predicted, that something that amazing would indeed happen. So as we look at this scripture, he says, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. See, Paul uses that phrase a lot about being in Christ. That we lose ourselves in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we become pretty self-absorbed. That we must lose ourselves in Christ Jesus. Paul was working into a situation where he lost himself in Christ. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God. You know, when I started out with this passage last Sunday afternoon, reading it and started moving towards this Sunday in my preaching, meditating on it, you know, I really had developed a whole different approach to this scripture. And as I read it again last night, I was totally dissatisfied, or hopefully the Lord was dissatisfied and wanted me to be dissatisfied, so I changed it. And I said to the Lord, you know, it's 9:30. I've been working all this all week. And I sense that it's not what you want. But I'm not sure I know what you want. But I zeroed in on, and what troubled my spirit, is how is the righteousness from God different than other kinds of righteousness? And right at that moment, I didn't have an answer. I don't know if I was too tired, if I wasn't listening to the Lord. But I decided, I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to sleep on this. And I prayed that the Lord would speak to me last night. And when I awakened this morning, I had a whole new view on this, so much so that I actually had to change the hymn we'll sing after the sermon, the hymn of response, because what I had planned and the hymn I chose no longer went with it. And it was all around, how is the righteousness of God different from other approaches to righteousness? See, Paul, as a Pharisee, was a member of that group that even Jesus, with all of the things he said about Pharisees, said that they're the standard of righteousness. The way they live their lives, the discipline with which they carry forth their faith, the sincerity of their commitment to the law of God is so great that our Lord said to us, your righteousness must exceed theirs, and theirs is the best there is. How you do that? Well, Barry sang about it. It's grace. Quite frankly, we don't do it. Christ does it in us as a wonderful gift of love. That's what grace is, undeserved love. That we're taken to a new level of righteousness where we don't do the righteous and the good because we try and because we achieve it. We do it because we surrender to Jesus Christ, and God's righteousness is given to us as a free gift, and all we have to do is go out there and live it. See, we make this thing called the Christian faith too hard. It's not what we do, it's what God does in us. It's our willingness to be in Christ, and when we're in Christ and Christ is in us, then our righteousness before God is the purest it's going to get while we walk this earth, because it comes from Him. And Paul is just pouring out his heart here about his own personal spiritual struggle. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of these great biblical characters having a struggle. He's sharing it with the church at Philippi because they've got a problem, and he had to write a letter to try to straighten out the problems. You know, ever since the beginning, churches have had problems. But in that, he's given a testimony of his struggle, agonizing over this. That I want to be found in Christ Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that's based on faith. Not what I do, but what God does in me that changes my doing. That when God really reaches into the depths of our heart, we are changed and do what is right because we have a new nature. And how do we get there? Same way he did. He says, I want to know Christ. And he used the word for the deepest kind of intimacy there when he said no. And I want the power of the resurrection. And to get that, to know Christ, and to have the power of the resurrection, I'm willing to share in his suffering by becoming like him in death. Boy, does that ever run through your mind? And run through my mind too often. I want this so much, I'm even willing to die like you died. Because nothing else matters to me if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He's saying that nothing could be better than that. Why do we want to fill our lives with all kinds of other things as our goals, as our aim, when nothing could be better than this? Being in Christ Jesus, having the power of the resurrection in our lives, every day, every moment of our lives. And then we could share the suffering. We don't have to fear death, because we've got what life really means. He says, not that I've already attained this, or for I've already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. As I woke up several times during the night, thoughts and images of seeking that goal, the power of the resurrection, and how we get there, came to my mind. And I remembered some of the commercials I've seen on TV. Commercials with a dad and his son or his little daughter. One I remember is where dad and the daughter are sitting on the sofa and they're eating some brand of peanut butter. And she asks him why he always folds his bread to eat it. And he says, I don't know. That's what I've always done. And, you know, she made a case for doing it different. And then dad proceeds to fold the bread and start to eat the sandwich. And what does the little girl do? She folds the bread and eats it like daddy. And I vaguely remembered some commercials with a father and the son and how the son is trying to mimic dad. And I realized that the real thing that Paul is talking about is that the way to find the righteousness of God is to be like our daddy, Abba Father. And so we would know what our Heavenly Father was like. He sent His Son into the world, who didn't act on His own. He only did what the Father told Him to do. So we could see the Father in Him. So we're supposed to look to our elder brother in the faith, Christ Jesus. But most of all, because He was always pointing beyond Himself, pointing to His Father, that if we won't have the righteousness of God, we gotta be like Abba, Daddy, Father. It's the only way we can do it. And when we do it, His grace, as Barry sang about, is poured out on us, and we're equipped to do it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, God's righteousness, not man's righteousness, not the church's righteousness, not the dogma of theology's righteousness, but God's righteousness. He also said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. We've got to want with the depths of our being not only to be like Jesus, but to be just like Abba Father. Abba, the word that would come closest to being translated in our day, Daddy. He revealed Himself to us. He's revealing Himself to us even today. If we're going to find the righteousness of God, if we're going to have a goal beyond achievement in our jobs, our houses, our cars, our material possessions, which all pass away, that Paul called rubbish by comparison, we've got to be like Abba Father. That's our only hope. That must be our only prayer, our only valid goal in life. To be like Jesus, to be like Abba, to be like Daddy God, and to watch Him, and to listen to Him, and get excited about everything we see Him doing, and say, that's the way I'm supposed to be. That's the way I'm supposed to live. And then I will have the righteousness of God. Are you willing to surrender to Him so you can do that? We had a great session in my covenant group this week. I meant to bring a copy of that and read you six things that we go over every week, disciplines that we challenge each other to practice in our personal spiritual life. And I realized I've been saying those six things, those same six things, for over 6 years now, once a week. And then we move on to discuss them in a different way. But we share leadership, and the person leading Tuesday says, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to go to the questions we usually ask to hold one another accountable. I want to go back to these six things that we read every week. And what we do, we've got five in the group. We just go around the group. Sometimes we have four. Sometimes we only have three. But our practice is, after we say our covenant, we go through these six things. And we just go around, and each of us says one. And he says, have you ever gotten to the one that falls to you and wanted to say, pass? I don't think I can do that right now. I'd just like to pass. I don't mind reading the next one, but I want to pass on this one. And we had the most energetic discussion of our spiritual life we've had in a long time, because we all talked about how inadequate we felt reading those six things. And number six, worst of all, because we fall so short. But you see, that's what the world's righteousness is all about. That's what Paul said. The law just shows that we're sinners. We only find true righteousness by surrendering to God, by faith, because we know we can't achieve it. One of my friends has a very dry wit, and I'm pretty sure the people in his church have no idea how funny he is. But when you get around him, he just says things that crack me up. And he says, you know, I really need to put aside an hour and a half a week to come over here and read something that makes me feel like a complete failure. But that's how Paul must have felt about the law. It only lets me know how much I've sinned. I was free before the law, but once you put it down and in words, I'm miserable because I can't live up to that. But by faith, being in Christ Jesus, Him being in us, by watching Abba Father, He can give us a righteousness to live this life. I hope you want that. Do you want it as much as Paul did? Because that is living in the power of the resurrection. Do you want the power of a resurrection in your life? God will give it if it's the most important thing you want in your life. It was for Paul. It has become that for me. I hope you desire it as well. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we spend time, you know, trying to be nice and good, but we probably wouldn't dare call ourselves righteous. And yet, somehow we must strive for that. We must long for that, because that is the key to living in this life. And it's a gift. You give it to us if you are our number one priority. But we confess that often you're one priority among many, not number one. May we live in the power of the resurrection, because that's the only way we can truly be righteous, as we accept your wonderful gift in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen.